resolution. It's a little bit of an exceptional one as far as the qualities leading to Buddhahood. It's not mentioned in other categories. It's a translation of the Pali word adhitana. It means generally resolution, but can also mean determination. And I was ruminating a little bit why it's included here in these 10 qualities that lead to Buddhahood. But it's interesting that in these 10 qualities there's no mention of something like faith, or faith, or conviction, confidence, trust is mentioned as one of the 5 spiritual powers or faculties. But when faith is usually mentioned, it's usually faith in the Buddha, Dhamma Sangha, for example. And these qualities that lead to Buddhahood, concerns the Buddha before he was enlightened, actually before he's even Buddha. So these are kind of fundamental qualities before, as it were, the Buddha establishes a religion or establishes a community, before Buddha Dhamma Sangha is actually established. So in a way, maybe this resolution is a little bit like conviction. It gives us a certain conviction in something, a certain resolution to keep up with something, determination. I talked about patience, and the long haul view. That's kind of gives us a certain kind of foundation. But if we don't have the resolution or the conviction to carry us through, to keep us going, then, you know, they can have all the patience, but don't really have the stamina, or we don't have the momentum. This resolution gives us some momentum to practice. And basically, there's 2 kinds. There is an informal resolution and a formal one. Informally speaking, it's a quality which we can tune into kind of in the ordinary aspects of our practice. Just have a little bit of resolve to keep things going. For example, we come to sit here. If we don't have enough resolve, the danger is that we usually default to just feeling, how we feel about it. You know, I come to sit and I feel good, I stay with it. You know, I get some payoff. And when it gets difficult, I leave, I quit. No resolution, no determination to kind of just stick with it a bit more. And the same with anything we do in life, actually. If we have some resolve, we can stick with it. It gives us a certain amount of momentum, something which carries us through, which gives us a little bit of backup. Otherwise, and especially these days, I think, in our quite instant society, there isn't much emphasis on resolve or determination. You know, there's so many choices around. You don't like this, so you can take this. You don't like that, you can choose something else. And not a lot of emphasis on resolve, just to keep going with something. Give it a fair try. Give it some a good effort. Put some effort into it and give it a good chance, a good try anyway. And we can use this, I mean, as a quality which leads to Buddhahood. Maybe you can appreciate that. I mean, when I talk about the formal one, you can see that you'll be a little bit careful, but just trying to tune into a bit of resolve in our practice in a very simple way. First thing in the morning, you know, we can say, okay, maybe I can get a little bit of resolve to do a little bit more longer sitting, or I can, when I get up, I'll get up a little bit earlier and do some meditation practice. It needs to be firmly established, I think, with wisdom, because, of course, if it's too inflated, you think, oh yes, I'm gonna get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why not? You know?
Well, probably you might get a false start. You know, 4 o'clock comes and you think, oh well, that's a bit too early. Maybe I'll postpone it to 5. And
if you don't know yourself very well, then you can kind of maybe take it a bit too far. And your resolve, you think you can you know, set a good resolve that you can actually maintain or do, but maybe you can't. It's just overinflated, or it's overconfident or something. But a lot of the practice, I think, is to do with this resolve, just to keep going, you know, get a little bit, something which is, you can get a handle on, something you can get some, you know, some, like one foot on the path. You know, when I was with Ajahn Chah, one of his common sayings was, you know, when people came to him, because usually in Thailand, meditation is considered to be an advanced practice, usually just for the professionals, you know, the monks and the nuns. But so people would say, oh, you know, they know about meditation. Most people who know about Buddhism know about meditation, at least hear about meditation. But then it's a bit mysterious to them, and then it's very advanced practice. And so they say, well, you know, I'm too busy to meditate. And Ajahn Chah just said, well, can you breathe? Something simple, can you breathe? Well, they can't argue with that, can they? They say, no, I can't breathe. Well, you're breathing, just notice it now. Just be aware of it. Simple. They try and put it down to something practical, something accessible to people, rather than them having this grand ideas of somebody sitting there like a Buddha statue for hours. Just be aware of your breath. You know, it's very simple. We have the breath all the time, but maybe it takes something like a bit of resolve to actually put some effort into it, to keep it going a bit. Because sure, you can notice your breath for one breath, maybe even two, but then what happens? We go back to our old habits again and start thinking and getting caught in our plans and expectations and memories. But if we have some degree of resolve, we can return to it again. We can keep going with it, you know, and try it for five breaths. And if we can use it in a practical way, it provides a certain momentum to our practice, keeps us going with it. And really, I think all of us know that if we don't give something a good try, of course you're not going to get any results. Not to mention something like spiritual practice, which is about realizing the ultimate truth. You need to give it a pretty, you know, a pretty good try. Maybe for a few lifetimes even. But if we don't have the resolve to continue with it, and think, well, you know, here, I've been watching my breath for 2 minutes, no enlightenment yet, give up. And it's to be able to give us a certain amount of continuity. I mean, some people, for example, as I mentioned, there is a bit of a stand-in for something like faith or trust. Some people get a lot of energy out of faith. They believe. They believe in the Buddha's teachings. They believe in the meditation instructions. And so their belief in it, their confidence in it, their trust in it, gives them that momentum. But if they don't have, and a lot of people, I think, in our Western society maybe are a little bit reluctant to give too much faith to something. So we have a little bit of doubtful. We have a little bit of hesitation. But if we put it in terms of rather than faith, how about resolve? How about determination? You don't have to actually believe it. I know for me, when I hear the word faith, I usually associate it with belief system. You had to believe something. If you have faith in it, or if you believe in it, then you have faith. In Buddha's teachings, it's not about believing necessarily. You need to have some trust that it is at least reasonable anyway, that it is accessible, it is possible to do. You need some trust in yourself maybe too, that you can do it. And then you put it to the test. But you don't need to believe the teachings. You don't need to believe absolutely or blindly, especially not blindly. But at least to have some degree of trust in them, some maybe a little bit of conviction, that some emphasis that, oh well, it is possible anyway. So then something like resolve can be a stand-in, because I mean everybody, I think, recognize something like resolve or determination is a positive, I don't know, virtue. You know, it's good in work. You have a bit of determination when you do some work. When you take on some task, whenever you're doing something, it is a useful thing to have. If you're just kind of half-hearted about it, not going to give it much effort, you know, it's not going to take you very far. And if, especially if it's something very practical, then you can do something very simple. You know, just attend to your breath, for example. Something simple like that. But if you have a little bit of resolve, then you go back to it again and again and again, and maybe the accumulated effect will be that you see some results. So the resolve keeps us going. The determination keeps us going with it. Of course, as I mentioned, it needs to be, you know, it's very closely linked up with energy. Because if you have a resolve or determination but no energy for it, it doesn't get you anywhere either. It's supported by energy. It needs also a good support of patience, because, you know, it's not necessarily going to get results or see some effects immediately. So it needs some patience to keep up with it. And it needs to also be very carefully overseen by wisdom, I would say. Wisdom is primarily knowing about yourself, you know, what you're capable of, what you're able to actually work with, to actually develop. If it's over the top or inflated, it's going to be, maybe it has the opposite effect. You lose your confidence because you can't live up, you can't maintain your resolve or realize your determination. You can't actually have it effective. You get undermined by it because you can't keep it up. You know, that's the informal way. And, you know, maybe, well, one example, maybe that's on the informal one. There was one of the monks I knew in Thailand. He was quite a good teaching monk. He'd actually been a Christian missionary. He was a Christian missionary, a Thai man. And then at one time he thought, well, here he is in Thailand, all these Buddhists, maybe he should study Buddhism, and so he knows how to convert people better to Christianity. So he studied Buddhism, and then he converted to Buddhism. He realized Buddhism was better religion than Christianity, so he became a Buddhist monk. But because he had done a lot of conversion, I guess, or teaching, he was quite a gifted teacher. And he told me the story of one man who came to him, and he was very, very desperate because he was an alcoholic and he just couldn't stop. He tried many times to stop drinking, but he couldn't. So this monk just said, okay, he said, well, how about, he said, what day of the week are you born on? And for Thai people, the day of the week you're born on, Monday, Tuesday or something, is very auspicious, you see. And maybe you even get your name from that day of the week. So this man said, oh, something like, oh, I'm born on a Monday or something. So he said, well, how about just that one day you stop drinking? Just determine that one day, because it's your special day, you know. It's your kind of birthday. That one day you stop, you don't drink that one day. So the guy, well, yeah, I guess I could do that, you know. So he did it. And after a little while, a month or so, he came back and said, yes, I've stopped drinking that one day. I can't stop myself the other 6 days, but but he had the one day he could stop drinking. So, and then he said, okay, well, how about the day after too? You know, you've been sober one day and then sober the next day too, and try 2 days. Well, he tried 2 days and he got confidence up, and 3 days and then 4 days, and after, I don't know how long it was, but he finally stopped drinking. But this man realized, he understood, this monk realized about human nature, see. This man obviously was not strong enough to just stop drinking like immediately. But he had enough intention, good intentions and resolve, obviously, that he could at least stop once, one day a week. Then he built up some confidence. Hey, I can do that. You know, I'm not totally hopeless. 1 day out of 7 is pretty good, actually. Then he keeps up with it, and he keeps extending it. See? And then as he gains more self-confidence, it gives him a bit more extra strength, and then gradually he's able to stop completely. But it maybe takes a little bit of you know, self-knowledge or some humility to recognize where our limit is, so we can actually start with something practical and develop with it. And then there is the resolve, which is the formal one, and this is used sometimes anyway, I don't know how frequently, but in the Thai tradition anyway, because people have a lot of faith in the Buddha, Dhamma Sangha. A lot of faith, trust, confidence even in the Buddha, for example. And they feel that they get an extra power from the Buddha. You know, if they practice their devotions, and if they say they sit meditation in front of the Buddha, they get some extra power from him. You know, or from the image. I don't know, probably some people think it's from the Buddha himself, you know. The Buddha's watching over them, you know, just like God or something, or Santa Claus, you know. Others, maybe they're a little bit more, they see it a bit more symbolic, perhaps. You know, when they do feel that their energy is flagging, they look up and the Buddha's still sitting there. He hasn't moved. Even though mosquitoes are on him and everything, he hasn't moved. Even though there's been earthquakes, he still hasn't moved. You want to move, but he hasn't moved. So you look up and he's still sitting there. So, okay, I can do that. Get a bit more energy out of it, see. Maybe some people, they have other imaginations, other things they use, you know, that they can help them, to give them a little bit more energy, a little bit more momentum for their practice. But and one of the things they believe is if they make a resolution, you know, it's just like a New Year's resolution, I guess. That's familiar to us, isn't it? Oh, but maybe most of us probably don't want to think about them, though. Can you remember last New Year's resolution that you didn't keep? But if they feel that if they make a resolution before the Buddha, then it's extra special, see. Not only is it kind of like an affirmation of their commitment, but then the Buddha is the witness in some form or other. You know, the Buddha image, the symbol of the Buddha, this quality of knowing, of full consciousness, of truth, is their witness to it. And so it gives them an extra power, an extra energy to the practice then. And if you have enough faith, I guess, you know, as we probably can recognize sometimes, or at least intellectually, you know, the faith that can move mountains. If you really believe in that, if you really believe you're getting some extra energy from the Buddha, or you're getting some extra power from at least that way of understanding it. You know, if you're committed to truth, for example, to really understand the Buddha is the quality which knows the truth, then this can give you some extra support in your practice. If your critical mind comes up and you say, that's not the Buddha truth, that's not the Buddha knowing, that's just that nagging mind, I'm not going to believe that. Look beyond it, like some support beyond what's just my immediate experience. So some of the monks, some of the teachers, some of the lay people would make a special avowal. And the resolution at various times means some at the, now this is the what we call the rainy season retreat time. So some people would take this time as a special occasion to devote to spiritual practice. So maybe at the beginning of the retreat time, they take a special avowal. They avow certain precepts, extra precepts, or they avow to be vegetarian or something, or give up something, or they vow to do an extra bit of extra meditation or spiritual practice of some kind. And if they do it before the Buddha image, you know, and they feel that they get some extra support in that, even though their own mind, their own ego maybe is tempting them, or you're trying to be reasonable or something, you know, and they say, well, I've already, you know, the Buddha was my witness, so, you know, I can't back down. You know, if you got a witness like the Buddha, you know, you can't back down. You'd be there when you're gone, you know, or something. So it gives them some extra support. And it's just like having something outside us which is bigger than us. Otherwise, for most of us, we're just listening to our own reasoning mind, our rational mind. Is this useful? Is this, you know, logical? Is this, how do I feel about it? But here is something outside of us, something bigger than us, if you like. But one has to be a little bit careful as well. As I mentioned, it needs to be carefully moderated by wisdom. Because if we don't know ourselves very well, it's very easy to get carried away with it. Make too many promises, make too many New Year's resolutions. You know, you pull out your list and you're going to be working on them all the next whole year, you know. It's just too many. But we start off with one, or we start off with some which are reasonably accessible to us. And then to try and keep up with them, keep going with it. And this gives us not only self-confidence, but it also the confidence that it does work. You know, this avowal, this resolution, you know, whether it is the power of the Buddha or whatever, is not really important, I don't think. But it's that extra quality of confidence, quality of trust, of conviction, whatever, that can give us the extra power. And there was one of the monks that I knew, a Western monk in Thailand, and actually two of them went to stay in this monastery, in this special meditation monastery, not a branch of Ajahn Chah's, but another monastery. And it was a monastery where they did a lot of intensive meditation. And one of the monks, he was quite good already at concentration practice. So one night he apparently sat very, very long time, and he had some really quite a powerful experience. So he told the other monk about this. And so the other monk said, "Oh, you know, we both came to this temple together, and we, you know, and if he can do it, I can do it, you know." And so he made this aditana, this avowal, this resolution with the Buddha. He said, "I'm going to sit all night." You know, just like when the Buddha was, just before Buddha's enlightenment, apparently, he made this resolution that he's not going to get up and not going to succumb to Mara, temptation, until he's fully enlightened. He's going to sit there all as long, you know, forever, till he's enlightened. So this monk thought, "Well, I'll make this vow before the Buddha that he's going to sit there all night." So he lit the candles and incense and did his little chanting, and then he made this resolution. I'm going to sit here, you know, till dawn or something. And so after the avowal, he sat there and almost shortly after started getting very uncomfortable. And the pain came up, and he was very... Well, after about an hour and a half, he just couldn't stand it anymore, had to quit. And of course, he was really crestfallen, he was really shaken up, because he promised the Buddha, you see. That but he couldn't do it. Yeah. So anyway, he went to the teacher and asked the teacher, and the teacher was very understanding and just said, "Well, you better go to the Buddha, back to the Buddha, and apologize." And he said, "Well, that's a bit, you know, I mean, the Buddha's not going to hear me." But he said, "Well, just have to, you know, humble yourself and apologize. He couldn't do it." So anyway, he went back to the Buddha image or wherever it was and sat there, and he did say, sorry, you know, I overestimated, I couldn't do it, I couldn't keep it up. And then after his confession, I guess it was, he was sitting in front of the Buddha, so he just crossed his legs and sat there comfortably, and he sat there for 3 hours. No problem. I wonder what was happening there, you know. Yeah, very likely by making that determination, there was probably quite a bit of ego in that, you see. Yeah, quite a bit of overestimation and ego, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to succeed, you know, desire and all this. But when he had to humble himself and recognize that he couldn't do it, there was humility, there was self-surrender. There was a giving up of himself. when they're giving up of himself, then he could really relax, you know, let go, free himself of all his ego constraints. Then he could sit there for 3 hours, no problem. Well, there's a lesson in that. So using these resolutions, one has to be a little bit careful, because to know where they're actually coming from. You know, and the Buddha's resolution to sit there and face down Mara before his awakening, you know, it wasn't coming just out of ego. Obviously, he'd already practiced 6 years very severely. So he'd recognize that he was ready for it. You know, and this resolution then was just that extra little bit of push he needed to lead him to awakening. But if he'd had that resolution 6 years before, couldn't have done it. Maybe he would have died first. Because he wasn't ready for it. He hadn't prepared himself. So in one way, we can use resolution to prepare us step by step in simple ways. Yeah, just to resolve to be a little bit more clear, a little bit more calm today. Yeah, instead of waking up and, you know, our usual habits take over, maybe to make a little resolution to be just a little bit more calm, a little bit more collected. Yeah, just step by step. And see if it works. If the resolution is firmly grounded in wisdom and humility and certain qualities, you know, has some patience, has some truthfulness and honesty to it, then it'll stand this in good stead. It'll be a good support for us then. But if it's coming out of overinflation, it probably won't work very well, or not for very long anyway. Yeah, so if it's coming from the right place, and this helps us then maybe to tune into that right place, yeah, to be able to retune where we're actually, what part of us is actually being affected by this, these qualities of resolution and patience and honesty and these things. Because of course we have many different minds, as we're probably aware of, you know, many different parts of us are speaking. And it can be the one that says, oh yes, I really want to realize enlightenment, you know, but, you know, which part of us is really speaking? That part that wants to get away, wants to escape from reality? Or that part that really wants to be honest and really see the way to awakening, which sometimes isn't very very comfortable. So we have to see where we're, what we're hanging on to, and what we're, you know, face our fears and look at our limitations. Yeah, if we're just going to want to brush those aside and just going for the lights and the bells and the symphony, it's not coming from the right place. But maybe we don't know that until we actually look at it. So something like resolve gives us a little bit more support for our practice. Some of the teachers, they use it quite a lot, making these determinations, making these resolves. You know, one of the practice we had in Thailand, every observance day, and one of the practices in the monastery was to sit up all night. That's one of the ascetic practices. And it didn't mean, it literally is that you don't lie down. You know, some people interpret it, they shouldn't sleep, but that was not so easy. What you do, you sleep sitting up. That way you don't sleep so much, you see. So that way, every observance day, that was one of the practices which was encouraged. And so each time, every observance day in Thailand anyway, then each one of us had to really look how much we're going to observe this, which is our resolve this time. You know, in the hot season, resolve was a bit soft, because everybody's really sleepy and your brain's like mush from the heat, and even if you did stay awake, it wasn't worth it anyway, because your mind was so unclear and so fuzzy anyway. But then during the cold season, it was quite easy actually, and especially because it was cool, you had to keep walking, keep warm. But each person, each time, you can have a different kind of resolve, you can say. And there's different degrees of it, you know. The really strict one is that you don't even lean against anything. You just sit there, sit with your body sitting upright, holding yourself up. And then there's a little bit of a more relaxed one. You can lean on something. You can lean against the windowsill behind you. Then there's a really slack one. You can actually put your back against something. You see, you can kind of be propped up a little bit like this, you see. Of course, the really slack one is you don't even do anything. No resolve at all. Besides the benefit of trying to develop your meditation in varying states of mind and various levels of consciousness, you could look at it as kind of a resolve too. And one would have to be a little bit, you know, careful about how one made that resolve, because if you weren't able to maintain it, then it was, I mean, nobody flogged you for it or something rather, or whipped you for it, but you had to answer to yourself. So you had to be a little bit careful how to recognize your own level of energy, you know, what you were capable of, what would be useful. Some people, maybe they just use willpower mostly just to get through. And others, they just gave up before it even started. You know, sometimes in the evening I really felt terrible, you know, about 10 o'clock, you know, before the coffee. I feel really terrible. Oh, gosh. I have a cup of coffee and, oh, I can get to 12 o'clock now. But I usually was a kind of a pragmatist myself. You know, I would try to be more pragmatic than heroic, because if I nodded too much, if I got too tired and was nodding too much, I get vertigo. You know, I get seasick. You weren't sitting on the floor like this. We're up in these kind of high seats. You know, so if you fall off that, you make a big scene. But probably we can recognize, though, this kind of, you know, resolve or determination in various aspects of our life, you know. And sometimes maybe we recognize that we could develop it a bit more, have a little bit more resolve, keep up with it, keep going, just a little bit more, you know, an extra little effort. And then things can change. It's quite amazing how, you know, we just push beyond certain limits. And we all have our own idea of ourself. You know, oh, I can't do that. I can't go any further than that. You know, but sometimes you recognize that if you can just go a little bit extra. You know, I remember my own experience in the mountains in Switzerland. You know, sometimes very exhausted, and you just think, oh, I just can't go anymore. I just can't make it. But I had to keep going, because I had to get back to the monastery, back to a safe place. And then sometimes the energy just changed. You get your second wind. You know, and something else takes over, another quality takes over. And, you know, just 5 minutes before, you're just willing to just kind of lie down and die right there. And then but you keep going. The quality which I recognized the most was the continuity. You know, just to be steady and continuous. If I got too carried away with, you know, this willpower, I'm going to push through it. And that was usually not a very good result. But more just one step after the other. Just keep going one step and one step and one step more and one step more. If I think, oh God, I got to get down to the end, never make it. But just one more step. And then, you know, some amazing things can happen, because we're not, for example, not clogging our mind up and not getting so emotionally involved with success or failure. We're just trying to be with what's happening right now, just one step in front of the other. And then things can change. And not every time, but many times, you get some extra energy comes out of it. I realized that human beings are capable of a lot more than they think they are, actually. And we have these ideas about what we're capable of, what I can do, but this is just, you know, this is an ego, a part of our ego. And usually it's very much less than we're actually capable of. Because a lot of these extra energies come from beyond the ego. Yeah. They're beyond what the ego normally thinks of or, you know, is familiar with. Yeah, these kind of, I wouldn't say superhuman, but I mean extra special qualities that we're capable of. We're capable of a lot more than we think we can do or think we are able to do. Once we stop thinking about it. So something like resolve and determination is a quality which, again, is another one like patience. It's not really spectacular, but it's something which can really be a very valuable support. And especially in the aspiration to Buddhahood, we need all the support we can get. And 10 of these qualities. And some of them don't seem, aren't so spectacular, but you know, when it comes to the real extra effort it requires for realizing the truth, then many of these very simple ones, these kind of not so spectacular ones, are those which really carry us through. A little bit more resolve, a little bit more honesty, a little bit more patience. Doesn't wave the big flag like wisdom and energy. You know, but many times these are the real foundations that give us that extra support when things are getting difficult or we think we're flagging and can't make it anymore, then a little bit more resolve keeps us going. So this quality of resolve is something which, I mean, maybe the Buddha, you know, these qualities, formally speaking, they come out of the stories about the Buddha. Buddha's previous lives before he became the Buddha, and that he developed this over many lifetimes, the quality of resolve and determination. And then it culminated in his final awakening to the truth. Yeah, so we also can develop these qualities, develop this resolve. You just step by step, little by little, and lifetime by lifetime. Maybe step by step is a bit more reasonable. And then we're getting two more before Buddhahood. Friendliness and equanimity. So these qualities gradually coming together. And I mentioned some of them are like foundations and some of them are like supports on the sides. Some of this, maybe they're kind of high-minded, you know, truthfulness to lead us onward. You know, it's like gathering them all in, that they can become, you know, kind of like all of our supports, like gathering in many good friends to help us in the path of realizing the truth. So something like determination, and there's the informal way which we can all access, you know, any time really, and there's formal ones to make a formal resolution about something, and as we know about, you know, maybe we don't take them so seriously, the New Year's resolutions. But sometimes, maybe in your spiritual practice, you realize there's something that you're a bit weak in, some aspect of the practice. Maybe you can to give yourself an extra resolve to kind of work on that area of your practice. You know, I'm not so good at the continuity. You know, I get easily inspired, but then the energy flags away afterwards. I can't keep up with it. Maybe if I try and get some resolve in that direction, gives me a bit more continuity. Or maybe the energy I have, you know, I can make, when I feel energetic, I can keep going, you know. When the energy is not there, easily get dispirited and give up. So maybe a little bit more resolve just to keep going, you know, a little bit extra, the extra step or the extra effort can kind of balance out the energy for us then. And maybe right now, then it doesn't seem like it's possible, but putting some extra effort into it, maybe in, who can say, weeks, months, years, begin to recognize that there is a bit more evening out. And many of our faculties about, in the teaching about the five spiritual powers, the emphasis is really on balancing out these various faculties. Yeah, not a matter of just, you know, you've got energy and that's all you need. You balance it out with concentration. Balance out your faith with the wisdom. Once we begin to recognize what these are, these qualities as qualities leading to Buddhahood, then we can bring them into our spiritual practice and give them some emphasis then, give them some support. And then maybe we can recognize just how they all come together and supporting our spiritual practice then. So I think I should pause there this evening.